It's good to see you all here today. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time that we gather as a congregation around your word. And we do pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us to teach us more what it means to pray in the Spirit. In your name we ask, amen. Prayer is not easy. We live in a world filled with distractions. I hope none of your phone screens match the screens on the wall right now. Schoolwork, job responsibilities, television, the internet, and Pokemon Go lure us into patterns of frantic movement from one activity to another, to another, to another, leaving us little time to stop, little time to reflect, little time to listen for God's voice. In a world filled with constant noise, we must unplug the devices, turn off the screens, turn down the volume, so that we may communicate with God through prayer. A story is told about Susanna Wesley, a remarkable woman who is the mother of John Wesley, a famous preacher in his day who founded the Methodist Church. And Susanna Wesley was also the mother of Charles Wesley, who went on to write over 6,000 hymns. Imagine that, music worship team, over 6,000 hymns. She had many children whom she raised and educated herself. And her house was so crowded, it was so loud, it was so busy, that in order to get alone with God to pray, what she would do is she would sit down and take her apron and pull her apron over her head. Because she could not get away from the children, so she created her own space, her own sanctuary, her own place to meet God by pulling an apron over her head. How do you step outside of the stream of constant distractions within which we live to spend time with God? How do you pray? Over the last few months, we've been learning about spiritual warfare and the armor that God provides so that we may be able to stand our ground in the spiritual struggle when the day of evil comes. It's fitting that Paul closes his remarks in this passage by speaking of prayer, which unleashes tremendous power in the spiritual realm and through which God works mightily to achieve his purposes. I believe that Paul intentionally does not assign prayer to a specific piece of the armor of God, for prayer infuses and empowers every piece of the armor, enabling us to stand against the plans and the attacks of the enemy. This morning, we will first consider what prayer is, and then we will look at three aspects of prayer taught to us by Ephesians 6:18. We will see that we must pray in the Spirit, we must pray on all occasions, and we must remain alert to our earthly situations, while placing our faith and hope in God to act beyond human possibilities. Next time, I will preach on how we are to pray for and with our brothers and sisters in Christ. To begin with, what is prayer? A simple definition would be that prayer is communication and communion with God. In prayer, we express our needs and our desires to God as we commune with God by opening ourselves to Him in His presence and allowing Him to strengthen and minister to us. When some people think of prayer, they think that you need to use big formal words, right? And they think that you need to physically change your posture by bowing your head or kneeling on the ground. Now, it's important to have a respectful, reverent heart toward God. And it's appropriate to bow your head and fold your hands and kneel to pray if you wish. But God doesn't require formality. And God doesn't require a specific physical posture when we communicate with him. In fact, early in my Christian walk, one of my mentors preferred to walk around when he prayed. It was so interesting. So if you went up to him and you said, "Could I pray with you?" he'd say, "Okay, let's go for a walk. We'll pray as we walk around." He would walk and he would pray. The important aspect of prayer is not our outward physical posture, but it's the posture of our heart, our reverent, respectful heart attitude toward God as we open our hearts to him, as we lift our prayers to him. I remember in high school making a habit of praying as I would walk through the halls of my school between classes. And I would lift up my prayers to God. I didn't bow my head, and I didn't even have a serious expression on my face. But I would silently pray to God in my heart. And by doing so, I was able to connect with God and receive encouragement and strength from him moment by moment, even as I went about doing the ordinary tasks of my life. Not only may we pray as we walk here and there, drive our cars, look for the next Pokemon, and accomplish the various tasks that we're required to do in our lives, but we can also speak to God about everything that we face, every challenge of our lives, large and small. I was encouraged when a young man on the last day of our local mission trip shared with our crew that he's learning that he can talk to God as a friend, as a mentor who's always there, always near, always available to communicate with him, to experience life with him. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. God is near to us. And he wants to be involved not only in the large crises of our lives, but also in the small, everyday little things that fill our time from moment to moment. Through prayer, we invite God to enter and to work within our lives in order to shape us, to become the people that he's calling us to be, people that he can use to spread his truth and his love to the people around us. At the end of the book of Ephesians, we find specific instructions concerning prayer. Ephesians 6:18 tells us that we are to pray in the Spirit. Now that might sound strange at first. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Now remember that our God is one God who exists eternally as three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, therefore, is God. And the Holy Spirit works powerfully in the lives of believers. He has a special role in our lives. In Christian art, the Holy Spirit is often represented as a dove, as a reminder that the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in the form of a dove during Christ's baptism. Jesus told his disciples before he was crucified that the Father will give them the Spirit of truth, who lives with you and will be in you. Jesus also calls the Holy Spirit the Counselor in John 14, and says that the Spirit will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The Holy Spirit lives with us and in us, allowing us to experience God's presence in every moment of our lives, and the Spirit guides, directs, and teaches us. From this, I believe that we learn two very important things about what it means to pray in the Spirit, as Ephesians 6:18 commands us. First, to pray in the Spirit implies that we already have a relationship with God. It means that we're already connected to God in close, intimate relationship. If you've not yet entered a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, then you may cry out to God in a moment of need, and God may indeed answer your prayer and graciously give you what you need in that moment. Yet you will not pray with the power and in the authority that are only possible by praying in the Spirit, which is in communion, in deep fellowship, in friendship with God. We enter a friendship with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ, by allowing him to forgive us of our sins that separate us from God, and allowing him to be the Lord of our life, who leads us and guides us. For a Christian, praying in the Spirit also means that we allow the Spirit to search our hearts, to reveal any sin that might be within us, in our lives, that be hindering our prayers, and might be preventing us from living in full, unbroken fellowship with God. As sin separates a non-believer from relationship with God, so too sin that believers have not yet confessed and turned away from these sins in repentance also block them from praying in the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. I once had a cell phone that was getting old. I don't know if you can relate to this at all. On my cell phone, everything seemed to work fine, except for the port where you plugged in the power cord to recharge the phone, right? Now, that's a very important part of the phone. I would sometimes plug my phone in to charge it, and it would look like the cord was properly attached to the phone, but there was actually a break in the connection, and the phone was disconnected from its power source. Everything looked fine on the outside. The phone was attached to a power cord, but no power was flowing into the phone. This is what it's like to be a Christian living with sin in your life. You may look good on the outside. You may say the right words. You may do the right things outwardly. But in reality, you're disconnected from your power source. The power of God is not flowing into your life through the work of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I would pick up my cell phone in the morning after thinking that it had been connected to its power source all night, only to find that I was mistaken and that my energy bar was almost at zero. My phone was almost dead. If you've allowed sin to disconnect you from God, your spiritual power source, then your spiritual battery is almost at zero. And no matter how good you may look on the outside, you lack the spiritual power that you need to follow and to obey Jesus Christ. In this way, the first aspect of praying in the Spirit is living a life in unbroken connection, in deep relationship with Jesus. The second aspect of praying in the Spirit is to allow the Holy Spirit to teach and guide us in our prayers. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth and our counselor, who will teach us all things and remind us of everything that Jesus has said to us, we need to remain open and sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading and guidance as we pray. Sometimes we have this mistaken view of prayer that it's what prayer is. It's we take our grocery list, all these things that we need from the store, right, the heavenly store, and prayer is giving our grocery list to God. And we hand our grocery list to him, and then he gives us everything on the list, right? No, that is not it. When we're living in connection, relationship with God, though, it's not up to us to think of what to say, to think of what items belong on our grocery list, what things we need to ask God for that He should give us. When we're living in connection, relationship with God, the Holy Spirit lives in us, and the Holy Spirit prays in and through us. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to pray, what specifically to pray for in each situation of our lives. In fact, the Holy Spirit leads the way in prayer, showing us things and showing us how to pray for these things in the presence of God. About a year ago, I described the Holy Spirit as a GPS. The GPS that guards our lives step by step along the journey of following Christ. Well, He's also the GPS of our prayers, who, as we pray, shows us the way to pray, shows us the path on which we are to pray for certain things, showing us the things that are on God's heart, and enabling us to lift up these things to the Father. He shows us the path to walk, even in prayer. In Romans 8:26 through 27, Paul mentions how the Spirit works in us and through us in the moments where we don't even know how to pray. And Paul says this: the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes. That means He's praying for us on our behalf. He intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with God's will. The Holy Spirit, living in followers of Christ, understands what we should be praying for even better than we do, right? And the Holy Spirit is already communicating to the Father for us in prayer deeper than words. He's praying for us. He's guiding us in prayer. So if you go to a prayer meeting, or if it's your turn to pray in Sunday school and you don't know what to pray, that's okay. Say, Lord, Holy Spirit, in this moment, give me a prayer. Show me how to pray. Teach me to pray. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations that are so confusing that we don't know how to pray, because we don't know really what we need or how to even ask God for help. In these moments, we may find refuge in the fact that the Holy Spirit is praying for us. He's interceding on our behalf to the Father. And we can ask the Spirit to just help us. Help me to articulate a prayer. Help me to even have the words to pray to you, because this situation is so extreme, so confusing, I don't even have words for it. Holy Spirit, give me your words in this moment. In moments of confusion, ask the Holy Spirit to show you what God is already doing in your situation and what God wants to do in that moment through the confusion. Ask God to show you. As we cry out to God in our weakness, in our confusion, those moments when our hearts, our minds do not know how to pray, I believe that the Holy Spirit powerfully works by communicating to the Father on our behalf. The Holy Spirit then invites us to join Him by guiding us to pray for the things on God's heart. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:18, not only that we are to pray in the Spirit, but also that we are to pray on all occasions. We are to pray in every kind of situation that you or I will ever find ourselves in. I've often told you that one of my favorite prayers is only one word long. Help. Help. When offered to God in a moment of need, that one word is a complete prayer. And there are many situations in our lives where we don't have the time or the opportunity to stop traffic. We don't have the space or the time to close our eyes and offer to God a thoughtful prayer like you or I would at church, perhaps. Recently, Reverend Hearn reminded us of how Jesus walks on the water of the Sea of Galilee during a storm toward his frightened disciples who are struggling to stay afloat in a boat. Jesus invites Peter to come to him walking on the water, and as long as Peter keeps his attention fixed on Jesus, he's able to miraculously walk on water to where Jesus is. But the moment when Peter takes his eyes off Jesus and starts to focus on the danger, on the threat of the wind and the waves, he begins to sink. He has time only to pray a three-word prayer, which you can memorize today and also use this week. A three-word prayer: Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And the moment Peter prays this prayer, we read that immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. This morning, do you find yourself in a storm so severe that you feel like you're sinking under the waves? Look to Jesus. Cry out to him. Offer a prayer even in the darkest situation of your life, and watch as your loving Lord reaches out and catches you with his hand that is stronger than the wind and the waves. To live as people who are ready and able to pray on all occasions in every type of situation means that we live lives alert to the realities that are around us, and we remain sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading and guidance in these situations. We need to know and understand the type of occasion, the specific situation we are in as we offer our prayers. Now, we don't focus all our attention on the dangers, the challenges, and the threats around us as Peter did, but we are still called to be alert, according to Ephesians 6:18. Romans 4 teaches us what this proper form of alertness looks like. And it uses Abraham and Abraham's faith as an example. Remember, Abraham was too old to have children, and yet he had received a promise from God that he would have a son. And so in Romans 4:19 we read, without weakening in his faith, Abraham faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Abraham faced the harsh facts of reality, the harsh facts of his earthly life. But he then looked beyond these harsh facts to what only God can do. And we read in verse 20 that he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but he was strengthened in his faith and he gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Christianity is not a religion of denial. God calls us to face the harsh facts of our lives with honesty. And then God calls us to look beyond the harsh facts by placing our faith in him and trusting Him to do what only He can do. Romans 4:18 tells us that against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. In earthly situations where there is no hope, God calls us to, in hope, believe. We are to lift prayers of faith and hope to God, believing that in all things He is able to do good for those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. Today, Ephesians 6:18 calls us to be alert when we pray, to see and understand what is truly happening around us, to acknowledge how dire our situation truly is, and then look beyond the storm, look beyond the difficulty, look beyond the threat by lifting our hearts and voices to God in prayer. As we look and as we listen to God, the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us and will teach us how to pray in every situation that we find ourselves in. So let's become people of prayer. People who live in close fellowship with God, who are led by the Spirit, and who pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you invite us to pray to you. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you guide our prayers. You teach us how to pray in those moments where there is a crisis, where we do not have words in and of ourselves. You draw near in the storm and you enable us to acknowledge the difficulty, acknowledge the threat, and then you call us to look beyond the storm to what only you, Lord, can do. Lord, we pray that in the coming weeks that you teach us to pray, that you teach us to pray with each other, that we would become people that are powerful in prayer, that do not give up, but lift up prayers of faith and hope that shake heaven and earth and that you use to bring your glory to earth, we pray. In Jesus' name.